Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Welcome to the Overcoming Emotional Eating Podcast. Tonight, you'll hear a special episode of the podcast where I actually take specific callers on my Monday night calls. We've repurposed these calls for your value, education, and knowledge. Take a listen. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line so we can talk and I can help in any way.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
I have a question. Sometimes, like, the reason we give up also, it's like our fear of success prevents us from moving forward.
You're right. I agree.
Can you advise on this? Like, how can we overcome this?
Absolutely. And I've done full calls on that because you're absolutely right. It's a little bit of a deeper component. And so for those of you that couldn't hear what the caller was talking about was the fear of success. I usually find that people will get to a point of success, and then that's what elicits the fear. And so one caller, the first thing is to kind of recognize when that fear happens for you. For some people, it's at a certain weight. Like, I've worked with many clients and they get to a certain weight, might be 200 pounds or 220 pounds or 180 pounds. There's a certain number that I've recognized for certain clients that they've gotten to, and there's something about that number. We do know that there can be a trauma basis to that number. And what I mean by that is that something traumatic happened at that number, and going underneath that can reignite the body's trauma response. That can be a really intense piece, but that can be true. The other part of the fear of success is really recognizing and understanding that in order to really do good, so to speak, and be successful in our weight, in our body, in our life, in our finances, in our spirituality, and in our whatever, in order to really do good in those things, we have to feel good about ourselves. And I think so often we forget that how we feel about ourselves, if we feel unworthy of goodness, it's very hard to accept the goodness when it comes.
Yeah, like if we don't deserve the good thing that's happening to us.
Yes. If you think that you don't deserve the good things, then it's hard to accept them as they come. So it really is that fear of success is really about those underlying pieces of feeling deserving of good things, of feeling worthy, and really owning that. And I think it's underreported how often that happens for people, that they buck up against that fear of success and maybe give into it. Because it's not about, so often it's looked at as kind of a surface issue, so to speak, you know, that people just look at, well, I failed at my weight loss. You know, I failed to get to my weight goal. And for me, that's a real surface thing, because the reality is it's not about failing. It's about, do you feel like you deserve to win? And owning success is about owning our greatness and being able to shine our light wherever it needs to go. And I believe as all human beings, we deserve to be able to shine our light. Because if we all actually shone in this world, we would have a great, big, beautiful, bright world. Does that help answer your question on the...
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it's a great advice, you know, like it's an eye-opening. Sometimes we don't know the reason behind our behavior.
Yeah, It's absolutely true. So recognizing what that is for you, it is the ninth reason, so to speak, right? And I appreciate you bringing it up. I usually, I've talked about that on full calls in the past, but it definitely should have been under number 9, absolutely. So thank you for bringing
thank
that
you.
Up so I could expand upon that more.
Thank you for the advice.
Absolutely. Anybody else, any other questions or comments?
Wendy, I have a question.
Sure.
This is with Dr. Guthrie in Michigan.
Yeah.
And he is so wonderful. I am having such a hard time. The first 3.5 months on the plan, I lost 42 pounds, and I don't know what happened after that, but I'm just on a free-for-all for the last 2 months. And he calls me every week, during this virus thing, and mm-hmm. spends a whole hour with me on the mm-hmm. phone, and we just chat up a storm. And he's just doing that out of the kindness of his heart. And I told him last time that I'm afraid he's going to say, okay, I'm done with you, because I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to do. And I don't know why. I can't figure it out.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, I'm still making healthy choices. Okay, so I'm having a yogurt, but I can't have the yogurt. It's not on the list. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so then that snowballs into something else, and then I have a cheeseburger for lunch. Why? Mm. Okay, so I obviously grasped everything in the beginning, but since I've fallen off the wagon the last 2 months, I can't seem to get back on.
Got it.
And I know the right thing to do. I'm just not doing it.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay, first of all, Dr. Guthrie is amazing, and I love that he's doing that for you. Let me ask you a question, though. What happens right before you're about to eat something you know is not on your plan?
I think to myself, like pizza this weekend.
Okay.
I just thought, well, I really, really want it, but instead of 3 pieces, I'll have 1. And I did. I had a big salad with 1 piece of pizza. But then the next meal, I want another one. And then I woke up the next day for breakfast, and I had pizza for breakfast. And it's like, what am I doing?
Well, first of all, there is a facet of what I call food addiction. And
right.
I don't know if that's true for you or not, because I don't know you well enough.
Definitely, yes.
And you can listen to my podcast. I have a few out there on food addiction, just to kind of get a sense of that piece for you. But what I'm wondering is, that facet of emotional eating can either be deprivation driven, meaning I haven't had it and I'm not going to get it again, so I'm going to keep going for it, so to speak. It can be, like I said before, kind of that's part of why people give up, is because like I slipped up and now I'm just going to keep slipping, like a slip
right.
and slide, right?
Yeah.
Or it can be about rebellion. When we tell ourselves no, as adult women, there is this part of us, and we refer to it lovingly, professionally, as the she-wolf, and I got a massive one inside of me. So I think, and I know we all do, as adult women, we think, like, who the hell's going to tell me what to do? There's a little part of us, all of us, that have that. Men, too. I just happen to call it the she-wolf because I'm female, but there's probably she-men, too. But there's a facet of moving into emotional eating that can be rebellion related. So what you want to do is start to figure out what facet of eating puts you down the slide.
Okay.
Instead of questioning why, I hear you saying, why? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? But why can either be a curious, informative question, or it can be a rhetorical question, meaning even if we ask our kids, like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Like, we're not really asking for an answer there, right? We're just saying it. Gosh, I'm really curious. Like, I'm interested as to why I ate the second piece of pizza. Those two questions feel totally different in how they would be responded to.
Okay.
So for you, what I really wonder is which facet is driving that emotional eating. Is it anger and rebellion? Is it a true desire for the taste? Or is it a deprivation, meaning I'm never going to get it again, so I'm going to, you know, eat for the next day or the next meal as much as I want or as much of this as I can because I'm not going to let myself have it anymore?
Yeah.
To see which of those tunnels does your eating go down? And to really just get curious and interested as opposed to upset and frustrated.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Because we can't ever, none of us, me, you, anybody, we can't figure anything out when we're upset.
Correct.
And so for you, what I would be interested in having you do is just to sit down, really with a journal, and get a sense, really, like if I were sitting there with you and I just asked, like, okay, so like how did you feel before you ate the yogurt? Like just real curious, like not why did you eat it? Like how'd you feel? And then how'd you feel after? And then how'd you feel before you ate the pizza? Now, you also have what I call negotiation with yourself going on. And the only reason why I say that is because it's important you catch yourself.
Okay.
Negotiation is I will only have one piece and I'll have, you know, I want three, but I'll only have one and I'll have a salad. It's called a negotiation tactic. And recognizing how that feels to you. Sometimes negotiations feel great. But negotiations are also done in hostage situations, and they don't feel great. So recognize whether or not you feel like your own prisoner, or you feel like you're finding freedom in that negotiation. Okay?
It's imperative that I stay on this plan. I have to lose 100 pounds by September so that I can have a major surgery. And they won't do it until I lose 100 pounds because I'm too overweight. So
okay.
This is a life and death thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I need to get serious, like, immediately.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a minute. So I didn't know that part. And let me just tell you one thing. You got a lot of fear wrapped up. And that fear is driving the boat.
Yeah.
I understand your predicament and your position, and I've sat with many clients who have kind of been given a deadline, and I understand the medical reason for that, or the reasoning, I should say. Everyone has a different reason, but I have to let you know that when fear drives your ship, you only hit into brick walls.
Yeah.
You got to move the fear aside. And you got to discern.
Yeah.
Get some support. Yeah. Get some learning. Get a journal. Start to do some exercises on like how you're feeling before, during, after. And you've got to live every day without looking at September.
That's hard. I feel like it's the deadline. I mean, a lot of these people on the call, some people might say, well, I need to lose 10 pounds or 20 or 40. But to have to lose over 100 pounds, it's like, it seems so undoable. I mean, I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem feasible. My last surgery, I have 3 hernias. It looks like I have 3 cantaloupes on my stomach. That's how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on my first surgery, I had cancer. They got the cancer all out, but there's a lot of other things going wrong. But I'm trying to not tell all the gory details.
It's okay.
When they got the cancer tumor out, they had problems because they had to put so much air. Everybody needs to hear this because you don't want to be in my boat. I feel like I'm in the Titanic.
Mm.
When they went to do the cancer surgery, they had to stop it and re-sew me back up because when they put the probes in me to lift my big belly, it squashed my lung, and my lung started to collapse. If that happens, you die. So they had to stop the surgery. I had to lose 30 pounds. Then they went back and did the surgery again, and it did work. They did get the cancer out. I'm very blessed. However, where they went in, because it was such a horrendous surgery, because I'm so big, when they went in, now my abdominal wall is caving in, and my intestines are hanging out of my body. Oh my God. I have a bazillion reasons why I need to get this weight off. And I'm playing around every day. I'm just playing around.
No, you're not playing.
I feel like I'm falling down a hill and I can't stop.
Yeah. Because there's so much fear.
You do not want to go through this.
Yeah.
Trust me. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're right. Fear of all the things I'm going through, physically, mentally, and my husband has MD, and it's taken over his body. He can't hardly walk anymore.
Wow.
The list is so huge. It is fear driving me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm afraid and I'm thinking, oh, my God, my life is just falling apart. I'm only 62.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop it from falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can do.
You can.
So, I mean, yeah. Okay, I could talk for hours, so I'm not going
to
do that.
No. And I so honor you for coming on and for being so open, because it lets me into your world a little bit to really understand how much fear and anxiety and worry is surrounding this facet of your life. And it is driving your eating. It's one of the major components that's driving. There's probably some other micro components, but that fear is driving you. So there is things you can do to empower yourself. One is, I would see if you can renegotiate some things, whether it be a weight goal range with your doctor, not Dr. Guthrie, but your MD doctor. You know, what can we do a range? What can you give me, right? Because we did have this little blip on the radar of life for everyone in our country called COVID-19, where everybody lived in fear for a few months. And you were already in fear, right? So you had double fear. And so there was a little bit of a step back for everyone in the country, and even more so for you. So I want you to give yourself some grace around that and go back to your doctor and empower yourself, give yourself a voice and just say, hey, listen, here's what I'm dealing with. I'm trying to work through this, but I got to have a little bit of breathing room. What's my breathing room? Like, what's my range? And then I really need you to dig underneath, because what you've got to do is you got to move that fear aside, and every day you just got to go into the day about the day, and you can't think about September.
Okay.
You got to think about now.
Right.
Because that fear is driving you.
Right. It sure is.
Okay.
And you know, when some people are saying, and I want to tell this to all the callers too, because I became, 20 years ago when my husband's health started going downhill, I became addicted to McDonald's and fast food. Well, just recently someone told me that carbs/sugar feeds cancer.
Yeah.
Cancer will grow like rapid when you're overweight. I never knew that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me scare your callers, because this is the God's awful truth. I had a tumor that embedded in my rectum, thank you, the size of a medium apple. I lost 2 feet of my colon, and are you ready for this, folks? I lost my rectum.
Mm.
Yeah. So now I have to have a colostomy bag for the rest of my life. And I'm 62.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm sharing this Because I want somebody else to learn from my mistakes. And when you don't take care of yourself, it's not good.
You're
so
right.
For those callers still there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, caller.
When you think of a cookie, don't eat it. It's poison. Don't eat sugar. Yeah.
Thank you.
And you know, we all hear you, and there are still people on the line, and I'm certain everyone is supporting you in their thoughts. And I want you to know, just by even coming on the call and giving yourself a voice, it's a step in the right direction. What you've done for 20 years is you've been in the caregiver role, and that can stress out and strain out anybody. And we forget that our body is our temple, and really, truly, our body is our vehicle on the earth. We forget that in times of stress and caretaking and caregiving. And so you forgot for a while, and now you're waking up and remembering. And that's why it's so important that you get the fear out of the way so you can see clearly.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, caller, I'm in Colorado. I just want to tell you something. You're amazing. And
I am?
I hope you tell yourself that. Yeah, you're amazing. I mean, I hope you tell yourself that every day.
I don't. That's what all I got to say. I have zero self-esteem. Zero.
I can hear that. I can hear that the way you talk about yourself. And I just want you to know you're amazing.
And I second that.
Aww. You're fighting, and you're going to win this.
Oh, from your lips to God's ears.
There you go.
Amen.
And back, right?
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're worth more than you think you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I add how generous it is of her that she poured out her heart like that, and she said, so that other people would not go that way.
Yeah.
She's so amazing.
That's very generous.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can tell her heart, right?
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't even imagine somebody going down the road that I've been down. And you know how you said about caretaking? Oy vey. Both my parents were severe alcoholics. So I took care of both of them for 15 years until they had a horrible death.
Yeah.
And And then my mother-in-law, and now my husband. And then my mentally retarded brother. It's like my whole life I've been a caretaker. Okay, so now, Deborah, it's time to take care of yourself.
That's right. That's the shift. You're an excellent caretaker. You just have to turn it inside instead of out.
Right.
You can do this if you just flip that.
Right. And you think I wouldn't fail at this. Because now, I'm still helping my husband, but now it's time to take care of me. That's what I keep trying to tell myself as I go for another piece of pizza. What the?
And that's just because fear is driving your ship. And caretaking for ourselves, you know, the caller that got on before who was talking about the fear of success. When we have to learn as caregivers, when we're external caregivers, right? We give. It saps us of any esteem we have for ourselves. It's really difficult.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Well, because, you can't fill yourself up if you're constantly filling other people up.
Okay.
So that's a component for you to just recognize of, you know, owning success, feeling good in yourself, feeling good in your body, and doing so by taking care of you, and then owning that success is a part of your journey.
Very good.
And you can do that.
Oh my God. Do you know I have 3 pages of notes from this call today?
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I want you to keep going back to those notes. You can do this and keep getting on my calls, and you can access my podcast, and I'll keep up with Dr. Guthrie, too.
Well, I must tell you, Wendy, I was on the call about 5 weeks ago, Mm-hmm. And I did like way too much talking and I felt very guilty afterwards. So what I've done is I've been on all the calls, but I haven't mm-hmm. spoken because uh-huh. I'm just way too chatty. It's the way I am. And I don't want to take away from somebody else that has to speak about something, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I've been there.
And I want you to recognize, you know, there are certain nights that some people speak longer than others and other nights that people don't speak. And that's the ebb and flow of life. And the recognition of being able to own our space and our voice and to not feel guilty about it is one of the most important lessons we learn here on this earth. So I want you to speak when you need to, just like I want everyone on this call to speak when they need to.
Okay, Hank. I need to get on your train.
I mean, it's important that we have our voice, you know, that's just what it is, because that's how we heal.
Right.
Right. We heal in speaking, we heal.
Right.
And when we close shut down, we don't.
Yeah. That's why I said when I called in like 5-6 weeks ago, I said, I apologize that I spoke too long, but it's nice to know that I'm not in this boat alone. I'm not. There's other people out there that have the same issue. You know, the thing is, they have everything for alcoholics and drug addicted people. What do they have for people with a food addiction?
Me.
Nothing.
Me, Francis. Well,
I'm starting the bandwagon.
They have Wendy Francis.
That's right. And there's going to be more to come. You'll see. There's been godmothers like Dr. Anita Johnston and Francie White that started to pave the way, and there'll be people like me right behind them picking it all up. So please keep a lookout, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give everybody a voice so that nobody has to suffer in silence anymore from overeating and food addiction.
I hear aspects of myself in what you're saying. So, caller, you didn't waste anybody's time. I hear aspects
exactly.
of myself. You're a mirror. You're a mirror to all of us.
I agree.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
I agree. You know, Rumi says,
a quick question. Is there a reason why there's not a support group for being able to have someone to talk to while you're going through the process?
You mean in each of the clinics?
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, I'm kind of that person, which is how we created this call, because I started one clinic, and we've now expanded to many, but we couldn't expand me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really specific and strange facet of expertise, and I know that sounds all right. I'm okay with like owning this. To be a dietitian and have the clinical expertise and counseling therapy expertise that I have just doesn't happen that often, unfortunately. However. Mm-hmm. What we are now doing is we have created a certification program that will be launched in the middle of this summer. So I can start to train other people how to do what I do. So we can start to set some people up in each clinic. And then those people can use me as in a supervisory role, but they can actually have some really good training. There isn't good training on how to do the food psychology piece, on how to do the nutrition and the therapy piece. It's either one or the other. And my passion is to help people heal from this. And I know that I've got to create more people with this expertise. I can't be the only one that holds it. And I know there's some other people, but they're quiet. And I'm ready to be loud. So I'm starting to train some other people. And as I mentioned, we're creating an online certification for those people. And they will be trained in the offices, so that there can be more of this going on in each of our offices.
Wendy, you are a gift from God.
Thank you.
Bless your heart.
Thank you. Excellent. So you can be looking forward to that in the future, but we will still be keeping these Monday night calls. I'll still be keeping the podcast. We're going to be creating some other really special things come the fall. They were supposed to be out a little bit earlier, but, you know, we had some bumps in the road here in America and other countries with a flu-like illness. So in any case, we've got some other things lined up to be able to give you guys support too, but that's definitely coming out, as well as I have a new relaunch. I've redone a whole online program to help overeating and food addiction. So that will be launched too this summer. I've been really hard at work between those two things, the podcast and everything else I do. But we're going to get as many resources as we can as possible, and then we'll keep moving forward.
Oh, that is awesome. I've been talking to Keith about that. I'm like, why don't you have a support group once a week? Whoever can make it, fine. Whoever can't, fine. And then since he and I are doing FaceTiming, I said, why don't you do a Zoom call once a week? You don't even have to go into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all just chat. But look, that's what we're doing with you. How wonderful.
Right. Part of that is this call. We provide the call for you guys so that you can have that space as well.
That is so awesome. Thank you for your guidance.
You are very welcome. And thank you for coming on and giving yourself a voice as well as other people a voice. Because when we give ourselves a voice, we affect and we put a ripple out to the world. So I appreciate you very much and I honor you. Thank you again, guys. Good night and God bless.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.